Hey guys, Trevor here with E-commerce Paradise. Welcome to today's talk. In today's talk, I'm going to be discussing my best high-ticket dropshipping selection tips and why you shouldn't start a broad furniture or home decor store. So if this is your first time watching the channel or listening to the podcast, you can get my free niches list at ecommerceparadise.com/niches, and it also comes with a free training as well. So get in there today. All right, so it's really important to understand why you shouldn't just start a broad furniture store. And I've made this mistake in the past and paid for it dearly. So I've actually been through it. And I'll tell you all the reasons why you shouldn't. Number one is that the biggest problem I found is that suppliers often don't have MAP pricing. What MAP stands for is Minimum Advertised Pricing Policy. And so that means basically if they have MAP pricing, that it's a level playing field for all the dealers that are online in the comparison shopping engines like Google Shopping or even on marketplaces like eBay or Amazon. If there is no MAP pricing, that means dealers can sell at whatever price they want to. And the issue here is that big box stores, whether they're online or offline, like if they're online, then they have a warehouse, if they're offline, they have a retail storefront, they can sell the products, right? And yet get better pricing from the supplier on that product. In other words, they can buy that product in bulk, like a container load of them, right? Have them in a warehouse or stock them in their storeroom floor. And because they're able to buy in bulk and stock, they get a bigger discount. So their cost is maybe 25% less, let's just say, on average because of that. And so because they have a lower cost, they can actually sell at a lower price and still be profitable. Whereas you can't. You're the dropshipper. They're not selling to you at the retail storefront price. They're selling to you at the dropshipper only price. And that price is often higher. That's what I found. So price matching does not work, unfortunately. And that's one of the biggest things we have when we're selling online is the ability to price match our competitors. Because people are comparing around different prices on different websites and they'll often just choose the website with the best price, unfortunately. And so oftentimes it's a kind of a race to the bottom, you know? And when you're dealing with suppliers that don't have MAP pricing, you'll find competitors are selling all over the place, and a lot of them sell for much lower than other ones. Excuse me. The next thing is that you'll find that furniture is a very generic kind of product. There's really not a whole lot of branding when it comes to furniture. There might be with the, like, really high-end stuff, but especially for the cheaper stuff, people don't really care about the brand name. Okay, while this might be good in one sense that you can, you know, sell somebody a generic product and they're not worried about brand loyalty or anything like that. It's not good in the sense that you can't really target any specific keywords related to that model or SKU number or anything like that. So you really want to find products to sell online, especially with a niche high-ticket dropshipping store that have a model name and a SKU number. And the reason why is because you can use those as long-tail keywords. You can target those with SEO, with search ads, with Google Shopping ads, with YouTube, all sorts of things. Anywhere somebody's searching that product model name or SKU number for a review or just shopping around for it, and you can put yourself at the top of those search results by paying a paid ads network like Google Ads, for instance, okay? And you can't really do that with generic products because generic products don't have model names. Sometimes they don't even have SKU numbers. And sometimes the SKU numbers are so convoluted, you know, people don't even really search them. They just, you know, think one couch versus the other. It's whatever. It's the same style, cool, good enough. They're not searching around. They want that specific couch, right? So it's not as common to get that. You really want to find a niche where they want that specific product. And they're willing to go with the dealer that pops up first and pops up in organics and search ads, sells at the best offer, best price, all that stuff, okay? All right, next is that furniture is big and bulky. So there's going to be high shipping costs involved. And often you'll have to use freight, and you'll have to use your own freight third-party carrier to ship the furniture, okay? Because the furniture suppliers don't use their freight because they don't want to assume that risk. So you're assuming the risk of the shipping. In other words, if that furniture arrives damaged and the customer refuses it, you have to give the customer a refund, and then you have to pay for the shipping still. And you'll probably have to pay a restocking fee if the furniture supplier even takes it back at all. And if they refuse to take it back, and some furniture suppliers do, then you'll have to either stock it in your own fulfillment center and sell it on eBay, or just give it up and lose that, you know, amount, or pay the supplier to warehouse it for you so you can sell it. So anyways, that's what often happens in furniture niches with furniture suppliers. Next thing is that with furniture, there's no really specific niche or target market. There's different like styles. Like if you go on house.com, you can see different styles And sure, that might establish a niche. And you could tr think like, oh, I'll build a store around like the farmhouse niche and just supply, different furniture and fixtures for the farmhouse. But still, you're going to be dealing with all these other issues. So it's not really a niche you want to serve with an authority site with this type of system for high-ticket dropshipping. Okay. And the reason why I'm telling you all these things is because we've developed a system for high-ticket dropshipping that works. And it works over and over and over again across multiple niches. But you have to be very, very good at choosing the right type of niche. Okay. Niche selection can be very confusing. I understand that. It was for me for a long time. And now I understand a lot better. And sometimes you have to get a bit creative. And I'll get into that a little bit later in this talk. Next thing is that you want to start an authority site and serve that specific target market. Okay. That's the key here. You're just one person. You don't have a team of 10 or 20 or 30 people yet. And maybe you want to scale there eventually, sure. But it's going to be difficult. And it's not going to be the super easy thing you think it might be. All right. So start small. I usually recommend all my students start with a single product category store as their first store. So it's really simple. And they can start making sales right away. And the reason why is because number one, suppliers, they want dealers that are going to be specialists, okay? Because oftentimes these high-ticket products are quite complicated. And they have a lot of different things that the customer needs to be aware of in order to properly receive the product and set it up and assemble it or install it, those kinds of things, okay? So the supplier is going to want dealers that are very specialized. In other words, you need to learn about the products you're going to sell before you go out and reach out to suppliers. Okay, they'll ask you a bunch of questions. Hey, do you have any prior experience selling these types of products? And if you don't, you're going to need to learn how they work before you sell them, because otherwise you'll run into lots of headaches. Because obviously customers want to know how they work, and you're going to have to go back and forth between the customer and supplier a bunch of times to learn things. And it's really annoying for the supplier, and it's really annoying for the customer, and it's really annoying for you because you have to deal with this. Well, hey, this is dropshipping. Okay, that's how dropshipping works. If it was affiliate marketing, you could just make an article and they might find that article and they'll click the link and buy from Amazon. They would deal with Amazon. They might comment on your article and you can help them out from there, or your YouTube video and you can help them out from there. But you're not legally liable to help that customer. With dropshipping, you are. So you have to be an expert in your niche. Okay, this is really important. You can't just outsource expertness. You have to be the expert first, and then you can train somebody to be an expert. Okay, but that's a responsibility you have if you're going to become a dropshipper, especially with high-ticket dropshipping because there's more risk involved. It's a higher price. Okay, if something goes wrong with the product because you didn't help the customer understand it correctly, they could file a chargeback or a PayPal claim or something like that, right? And if the product is one, two, $3,000, all of a sudden they take that money out of your business account like that. And if that money is out of your business account now, it's going to be difficult for you, right? So that's the thing about high-ticket dropshipping, is you have to be responsible and know about the products and create automations through your store to do that properly. And the problem with furniture is that there's so many different categories of furniture. There's like 100 different categories of furniture. There's couches, there's lounge chairs, there's ottomans, there's dining room tables, whatever. And none of them are very like specific to a certain niche. Someone shopping around in the home, they're just looking for this, that, or the other thing. They'll probably go to Wayfair or something like that, or Amazon. So it's difficult, right? It's very difficult. What you need to do in the very beginning is focus on a specific product category and start there. What I usually recommend people is think about appliances. It's a good place to start. Things like, well, what I wouldn't recommend is things like stoves or refrigerators. And the reason why, like microwaves, for instance, because you can find those in big box stores really easily. If someone's thinking about buying a refrigerator, they're like, let me just go to Best Buy really quick and see how much they are there. Let me go to Sears really quick and go to Home Depot. They'll have lots of fridges available, But think about very niche and different types of appliances that only if like a certain target market that likes a certain thing or is into a certain hobby of some sort would actually invest in. And a good example of that is a wine cooler. So a wine cooler is used by people who love wine, who are wine enthusiasts, because they know wine and they know that wine needs to be kept at a certain temperature. And different types of wine should be kept at different temperatures as well. Right? So if somebody's going to be drinking wine at home a lot with their friends and family, and they want to be like have a really great experience, then they want a separate wine cooler for that. Okay? So it's a really good niche for dropshipping. You can do a single product category store on wine coolers. So it's just an example. So get creative. Other examples would be like an electric fireplace. It's a great example. And the reason why is because this is a appliance, and somebody who's looking to make their home a little bit more warm and comfortable, either their bedroom, their living room, even their bathroom, their office space, is going to be interested in buying one of these things. And they want to go to a store that sells electric fireplaces only, because you're going to be the expert. So be the expert, start a single product category store, learn about that category, and network with different suppliers and learn about their products. Okay, so that's kind of the main thing here. And that leads me into my next point, which is that simple products like furniture have a lower barrier for entry because they're simple to sell, right? They don't require a lot of like complicated explanations. If you look at like a description on the couch, it's like, okay, it's got this kind of fabric, it's this big, you know, it's this many cushions, and it's got wooden peg legs. That's about it, you know? It's a couch, it's not complicated. It doesn't have electronic components, doesn't have mechanical components. It doesn't have different voltages or wattages or whatever. It doesn't need to be set up in a certain way. It doesn't need any plumbing affixed to it. It's a couch. It's really simple. So you can sell a couch anywhere really easily. You can get suppliers that sell couches really easily. They're, you know, going to be like the worst suppliers to work with, but you can get them. And the reason why it's really bad to work with that niche is that it's a low barrier for entry. So there's so much more competition online selling couches and other things around the house, tables and, you know, ottomans and things like that, like I mentioned earlier. More complex products have a higher barrier for entry, right? So there's less competition online and offline. And that's kind of the key. You can't really find a wine cooler store. Like if you look online on Google and type like wine cooler store, you're not going to find one, right? Something you have to go online to buy. You can't find an electric fireplace store. I mean, you might find a fireplace store that sells electric fireplaces, sure. I've seen those a few times. Yeah, so it's really hard to find these places. And the less likely there is to have an offline business selling that product, the better, because you have more likely people are going to be searching online for it, and then you're going to be the one to go to, and they'll get it from you. And here's a mindset issue I run into a lot, is that people think that a smaller market or a niche with less search volume is going to be less profitable. Okay, that's definitely not the case, because the method we use with marketing is to establish ourselves as the authority on a complicated product, right? And we put ourselves in the search engine and we target those long tail keywords and we get the best offer and the best price. It's actually more profitable in the long run to sell a very narrow category on one site, okay? Because you'll get more of the sales. Okay, they're selling maybe 10, 20, 30, 50 a day, right? And a certain amount of dealers are making most of those sales probably. Probably 10 or 20% of the dealers are actually making most of the sales that supplier sells, right? You want to get a piece of the pie? Excuse me. You want to get a piece of the pie, you've got to be that one who has the best offer and is an authority in that niche, okay? So the riches are in the niches. Just want to drive that home, guys. The riches are in the niches, okay? All right, and the last point I want to make is that you really want to find the perfect trifecta of a niche for you. And the trifecta is, number one, profitability. Okay, and you can determine profitability through a number of different factors. And I discussed this in my niches training. So go to ecommerceparadise.com/niches and get that training. Okay, and I have a course as well that I offer people where I go in depth on all the different things that I talk about. And I show you over my shoulder doing real world research. It's called High Ticket Dropshipping Niche Hacks. Right? A link is in there. And it's really important, okay? Because if you don't determine a niche is profitable, don't go into it. You're just going to waste your time and money. Make sure it's profitable, okay? Niche selection is the number one most important thing before you ever get started. So choose a profitable niche, you'll be successful. Choose an unprofitable or general niche, not successful, no matter how hard you try. No matter how much effort you put into it, you're not going to be successful, okay? Next is, ideally, you want to have some sort of prior skill set. If you don't have a prior skill set, at least be willing to learn it and establish a skill set in that niche, okay? And thirdly, have some sort of passion behind it, okay? This is gonna help you drive your business forward in tough times, because businesses go through tough times, but if you are the person behind your business that is a leader and is driving your business forward, no matter what happens, no matter how many sales you get in a day or how few sales you get in a day, because you have that passion behind that product, because you wanna help people to understand and get the right one for them, you're gonna win. So have some sort of passion, and if you don't have any passion in the niche that you find that's profitable, at least have some skill set, you know, in it so that you can become passionate about it. But passion comes from the heart. It's kind of hard to create passion if you don't have passion already, right? So, hey, you can create a profitable business. If your passion is creating profitable businesses, then that's your passion. You don't need to be passionate about the product you sell, but you got to be good at creating businesses. You got to be good at creating systems, automations. You got to be good at training and hiring and training, outsourcing, creating SOPs, all that stuff. And that's how a business is built. Big businesses are built that way, okay? So it's either you're really good at building businesses or you're really good at selling a product. But usually the way it first starts, especially for beginners, is you don't know too much about building a business. So let's be passionate about the product first so you can learn how to build a business as you go. So try to find that niche. That's the perfect trifecta: profitability, skill set, and passion. And you might have to go through a lot of different niche ideas to get there, but once you find it, go for it. And I'll give you an example of the one that I found in the very beginning. You know, I started with skateboarding and it didn't work out because it's not profitable, unfortunately, for dropshipping. It might be profitable for brands. It's really not that high ticket of a product. Mostly sold through brick and mortar stores, and the online guys have big warehouses, right? There's nobody that really dropships stuff online. You won't get good pricing anyways. So I let that go. Next idea was bicycles. And actually my business partner that I partnered up with on the skateboard thing came up with the idea, and he gave me the idea of fixed gear bikes because it's a niche within a niche. Okay, bicycles, niche down to fixed gear bicycles. And we realized it's really trendy. It was around 2010, so we started there. And although the product is serving a target market that's kind of young, kind of broke, we made a lot of sales. And it worked pretty good. We had kind of a high ratio of having to deal with stuff, though, so it wasn't the ideal niche, but it was a great niche to get started with because we were serving a target market that's very specific. And we built an authority site around that. Our site back in the day when we first started it is fixiecity.com. So you can look that up. I actually have it as a demo store now. You can't actually buy through it, but you can check it out. That's, you know, what our high-ticket dropshipping stores look like that we build for clients and for ourselves, okay? And you know, speaking of which, if you happen to want to buy a high-ticket dropshipping store from us or have us build one for you, you can sign up for my free training on how we do that. You can go to ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. We build turnkey stores for people. So anyways, so Fixie City was our first one. Our next one was one called Road Bike City because we decided that we wanted to deal with a different target market, one that's a little bit older, has more money. So we moved up to road bikes, a little bit older, a little bit more money, right? They cost like maybe $500 to $1,000 on average. And yeah, it worked out. But the problem there was that there were too few suppliers that were willing to dropship. Most of the big brands only sold through retail stores. There were only a few that sold online only and were willing to dropship for us. And oftentimes the margins were pretty low. So throughout, you know, our website building, we sold other types of bikes like beach cruisers, BMX bikes, tandem bicycles, unicycles. We sold all sorts of different things. And then all of a sudden in 2013, I discovered electric bicycles. And electric bikes were kind of becoming mainstream at that point. And since then they've blown up. Because of some YouTubers that have done, you know, crazy videos about electric bike companies that are startups. And it's really exciting because it's a great alternative energy space to be in. So we started selling those and we did amazingly well, you know, for a dropship store. We did $500,000 our first year. And then about a year and a half later, you know, I had some issues with my business partner, so we ended up having to sell it. But yeah, that's a, you know, great example of another niche where like the target market's even a little bit older. They have more money to spend. And it's serving an even more niched market, okay? Somebody who is interested in not only a bicycle, but a electrical propelled bicycle, something that makes it easier to bike for them. So like an older market that can't bike the same way they used to do when they were kids, or even just the young market, but you know, just wants to have more fun, okay? So that was a great niche. And you know, we have clients that sell that, we have students that sell them online. They're awesome. And yeah, not too bad. A lot of issues, of course, because you have electronics, you have mechanical issues. But if you have a passion for bicycles, maybe you've owned an electric bike in the past, and you have some kind of skill set in electronics and mechanical working system, mechanical engines like a bicycle, perfect niche for you then. Because it's profitable, it's trending, you have prior skills, and you have a passion behind it. Even though it's going to be tough, you are the one that's going to be the best to sell it online. And if you can be the one answering the phones, talking to the customers, you're going to make the most sales. That's just how it goes. All right, guys. Well, I really hope you enjoyed this lesson on high-ticket dropshipping, why you should not choose broad furniture and home decor things, start with multiple categories, all that stuff, and waste a bunch of time, and why you should start with a very specific niche authority site and build out a business to serve a specific target market. That's how this works. That's how we teach it. That's what works for us, what's going to work for you. So get out there, guys, build your store. If you want a step-by-step training program on how to do that, go get our free mini course first. It's at ecommerceparadise.com/secrets. Teach you my secrets to high-ticket dropshipping and how to do it profitably. And of course, my masterclass, which is where I teach everybody how to do this step-by-step in over 20 plus modules. It's at ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass. And again, if you're interested in having us build a store for you, you can check that out at ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. Thanks for watching and listening, guys. Definitely leave a review on the podcast if you could. It's at ecommerceparadise.com/podcast on the iTunes store. And also comment below if you're on YouTube and let me know what kind of niches you're thinking about selling. And if you want to get a free consultation with me, free like discovery call or even a strategy session, something like that for 15 minutes, you can. I'm at ecommerceparadise.com/meeting. You're just going to have a quick meeting with me. It's cool. I talk to people for free all the time, and I love to talk about this kind of stuff, and I love to help. And also join our Facebook group. It's called Ecommerce Paradise Dropshippers, or you can just go to ecommerceparadise.com/group. And also add me on Facebook, because I'm on Facebook, and I love to message people all the time, right? And so you can message me anytime and ask me questions. I'm happy to. So if you just look for me on Facebook, I'm at Trevor James Fenner, or you can just type in facebook.com/TrevorJamesFenner. Add me on there. And yeah, let's get this going, guys. Holiday season's coming up, so I'm excited. Black Friday is always really big for us, and it's going to be even bigger this year than normal, so I'm excited. E-commerce is growing like crazy, guys. It's in the trillions, and if you look at the revenue that Amazon, eBay, and Wayfair are doing every year, it's just going up like crazy. So get in the e-commerce space. It's the best place to be. It's growing. It's not going to slow down anytime soon. And with that said, I'll talk to you guys in the next episode. Take care.